Luke chapter 13, starting at verse 31. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else, for Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox. I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This past Canada Day weekend, my friend and I went camping at Port Burwell Provincial Park. And if you remember Canada Day weekend, it rained a bit. Quite a bit, in fact. But my friend had a dining tent, and so upon arrival, we set that up over the picnic table, which just fit inside the tent. And this tent had, well, it had mesh sides, but it had a solid roof. So we told ourselves that it would provide some protection, right? Well, I woke up the next morning to rain. Some of you are already nodding your heads, so you're like, we have camped and we know where this is going. And it had already been raining for quite some time by the look of the puddles outside. And so I dashed into the dining tent where my friend was standing at the end of the table, which is where you put the camp stove, making coffee. And the table just fit inside the tent, and so to stand on the end of the table meant that you were standing against the mesh sides of the tent, which means you might as well have been standing outside. So we gave up on coffee, ran to the car, drove to Aylmer for a diner breakfast, and stopped at Canadian Tire on our way back to buy a tarp. Naturally, as soon as we put the tarp up, the rain stopped. And I had a pretty good inkling when we set up that dining tent that it wasn't going to provide the kind of protection that we were going to need. But I went to bed needing to believe that it was going to be enough, that it would offer some protection, some shelter. And we do this all the time. We put our trust in all manner of things, hoping that they will provide some protection from the various dangers and threats and discomforts that loom all about us. We take vitamins to protect against disease. We look at crime rates before choosing a neighborhood to live in. We wear helmets when we go for a bike ride. We opt for a lower risk investment. We are constantly weighing things out, making judgments, determining whether something is going to keep us safe. And sometimes these things really do offer protection. Helmets are a good idea. But other times, all we're getting is the illusion of protection. Health influencers on social media peddle all sorts of promised cures and preventions these days. Ginger will apparently kill cancer 10,000 times more effectively than chemo. Did you know that? And okra will cure a common cold. And you can magically lose 30 pounds in just 3 weeks if you're willing to buy the right kind of expensive protein powder. Sometimes the things we put our trust in tend to be empty promises, tents with mesh sides that prove useless when rain is actually falling. And it's misplaced trust that Jesus laments over in Luke 13. The leaders of Jerusalem keep putting their faith in the wrong people and keep rejecting the only kind of shelter that will provide true, lasting, eternal shelter. And for this, Jesus weeps. And he weeps, he does all of this in the context of an interaction that he's having with some Pharisees. Jesus is somewhere in Galilee on his way to Jerusalem. He's been on his way to Jerusalem since chapter 9, and he will be on his way to Jerusalem until chapter 19. So we're in the middle of what is called the Lucan travel narrative. Jesus is headed to Jerusalem, and he knows what waits for him there: arrest, mockery, and death. But on he goes, doing the work of the kingdom of God all the while, casting out demons and healing the sick. And then one day some Pharisees come to him and warn him that Herod is trying to kill him. We don't know exactly why Herod wants to kill Jesus, but as this is the same Herod who has killed John the Baptist, presumably he sees Jesus as some similar kind of rabble-rouser. But whatever the reason, it's also likely that the Pharisees don't really care about protecting Jesus. They just want to get rid of Jesus. They want Jesus to go away. So they try to scare him, tell him to turn around and run in the opposite direction from Jerusalem to find shelter and protection from Herod somewhere else. Which is a pretty good strategy, because as we've already said, humans like protection. We crave safety. And the Pharisees are no different. They have their rules, their way of doing things that ensure stability and calm and a protected status for these elite religious leaders of Jerusalem. And this Jesus fellow, well, he's a threat to all of that stability. He's telling people to go be friends with Samaritans. And he claims to have the power to forgive sin. And he heals people on the Sabbath day. He does not respect the law. He seems to think it's okay to eat with sinners. He chastises the Pharisees for sitting in the most important seats in the synagogue. And he claims that the Pharisees have neglected the justice and love of God. No, it just will not do to let this Jesus carry on like this. He is turning everything upside down. So the Pharisees look for a way to protect themselves from this pesky prophet. And if they have to use political threats to do it, so be it. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the place where God had promised he would make his dwelling, the place where he put his name, the city of God's very presence with his people, how often had those same people rejected their God? How often had they turned away from the ways of God and of God's kingdom for that which seemed to promise them safety and stability and status? How often had they chased other gods, made idols of their comfort and their wealth, and rejected God's call to pursue justice and mercy for the downtrodden? And when God would call the people to repent, to turn back to his ways, how often had they killed the prophetic voices who preached God's words? Now, not even the Son of God is safe from the people's desire to protect themselves from that which threatens to upend their way of life. The preacher and theologian Will Willimon tells a story of a church board meeting that took place when he was a junior high rep on council. And it was in the 1960s. And Billy Graham had just announced a city-wide crusade to Willimon's town of Greenville, South Carolina. So every church was asked to support the crusade. And so it came to a board meeting at Buncombe Street Methodist Church. Willimon's pastor got up and told the board what a cool opportunity this was and how excited the other clergy at the churches across town were. But the board was unconvinced. For some, it was a matter of the ecumenical nature of the event. Why should they have to work with Baptists? But the thing that drove the nail in the coffin of Buncombe Street's participation was a board member getting up and saying, "Well, Graham says there will be no separation of the races during the meetings." And that did it. The board at this predominantly all-white church refused to participate in the revival meeting. When Williman left the church that night, he walked past the pastor's office, and hearing a noise, he peeked in, and there sat his pastor, head in his hands, weeping. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have you rejected the ways of God? How often have you chosen your own idolatrous comfort over participation in the kingdom of God?" Do we reject the risky ways of God in order to protect ourselves? To protect our own sense of security and stability and status? My friend, the executive director of 541 Eatery and Exchange, which is a cafe in Hamilton that seeks to provide a welcoming space for connection and community and good food. Patrons can buy buttons with their meal, and people with limited income can use those buttons to then buy their own meal. The cafe seeks to bring together people from all walks of life, and particularly to provide a space for those struggling with homelessness and/or addiction to find a place of community and dignity. And so last week, my friend posted a video encouraging people to come to the cafe after the breakfast rush had died down. And one person commented on this video that they would come, but they find it too intimidating and uncomfortable to walk past some of the homeless people who sit outside of the cafe. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often does our desire for safety and comfort keep us from engaging in community with those who need it most? What of the times when we keep quiet when a fellow student or colleague is being mocked in order to save face with the rest of the group? Or the occasions when we feel that God is calling us to support a ministry or an organization, but we also kind of want to put that money into a savings account? Or our hesitation to visit or to call someone who is grieving because we don't know what to say, and we don't want to be uncomfortable. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often do we choose that which seems to promise safety and security and status rather than participate in the upside-down ways of the kingdom of God? How often do we try to protect ourselves from that which might upend our life? Elizabeth Oldfield is a Christian thinker and blogger who I follow on Instagram. And she recently wrote a blog that was titled, "Soul Work for the End of the World? Set the Table." She posited that in an age of anxiety and fear and uncertainty about the future, one of the most important things that we can do is to gather together, to eat together, to do life together, to build social bonds and trust and practices of mutual care. And someone commented on her blog, who was still very much afraid of COVID, and wondered how we practice this mutuality in an age when getting together still feels risky. And so that sparked a whole big other conversation amongst my friends, who wondered, can you love well at a distance? And the prevailing sentiment was no. "There is no love," said one person, "without the threat of transgression." There is no love without the threat of transgression. Love is risky. It requires vulnerability. To love fully carries with it the threat of rejection and the possibility that we might get hurt. And that is embodied for us most fully in the person of Jesus, who did not turn away from Jerusalem, who didn't heed the Pharisees' warnings and seek to protect himself from the threat that he knew loomed before him, but who set his face towards Jerusalem and told the Pharisees to get out of his way. I will keep on going. This day and the next day and the third day I will reach my goal. Jesus was resolved. As Pastor Chelsea Harmon writes, Jesus was resolved to be the true prophet of God, to take on the role of the suffering servant for the world. He was resolved and at peace, even if he prayed for the cup to be lifted, that his death was coming and would not be avoided. And yet his words are the kind that come from someone who knows that they are ultimately safe. Knowing that his death is coming, he is safe to be bold on his mission. And his mission is to make us safe. Jesus' mission is to rescue us from the clutches of darkness and evil, from the powers of Satan that promise us safety and security and status, but which in the end leave us feeling alone and empty. Jesus' mission is to enfold us into himself so that death might never have the final word in our life, so that those things that threaten to undo us might prove in the end to be empty threats. For we are covered by the arms of Jesus, just as the wings of a mother hen covers her chicks. When a hawk or another predatory bird is circling overhead, a hen will cluck and squawk, calling her babies to herself. And opening her wings wide, she will gather all of the chicks beneath her, covering and concealing them so that she alone is vulnerable to the threat that looms overhead. Jesus longed to protect Jerusalem as a mother hen protects her chicks. The religious leaders of the city would not heed Jesus, would not turn to him as their ultimate protection. But that didn't stop Jesus from carrying out his mission. Jesus still stretched his arms wide, calling his children to himself, inviting them to find true safety beneath his sacrificial wings. We are safe in Jesus. And because we are safe in Jesus, then we, like Jesus, can be bold to go about our mission, to live in risky love, to seek community with those who are not like us, to stand up for the downtrodden, to risk our reputations to promote justice, to give up the safety of a plush bank account so that others might flourish, to be vulnerable with one another, to seek the kingdom of God, no matter the cost. Last Saturday, I brought some chips and salsa to a potluck hosted by the same group of friends that were discussing love and vulnerability. And we met in the park that was next to their house, gathering in a circle of lawn chairs. No one there knew everybody. It was a smattering of people's friends and colleagues and neighbors. And because we were gathered in a park, we were also joined by some of the unhoused community who didn't have a regular home to go to and who spent a lot of their time in that park. They ambled over and joined us in the circle, helping themselves to some food. And it wasn't a big thing, and it didn't take a lot of risk on our parts. If anything, I reflected later, it took some risk on the part of the community members to join this group of people they didn't know and help themselves to some food. But because the circle was big enough, and because we weren't closed up in someone's house, seeking the safety of four walls. The possibility of vulnerable community had been created. And it was this beautiful picture of the kingdom of God, where all people are welcomed and known and held in the arms of Jesus. It was a beautiful picture of shalom. Would you pray with me? Oh God, you long to protect us, to gather us into yourself so we might be truly safe, held fast in the knowledge that nothing can separate us from your love, trusting that even death cannot finally overcome us. Thank you that even when the people rejected Jesus, Jesus did not turn away from his mission, but carried it out through that very rejection, spreading his arms wide in love on the cross. When we put our hope in promises that prove empty, when we seek safety in the things of this world, when our fear keeps us from loving others well, call us back to you, as a mother hen calls her chicks, to remind us that our only comfort in life and in death is you. In that hope, help us to be bold in our love, that we might give of ourselves in vulnerability, endure discomfort for the sake of offering dignity to others, and so bring all people into the safety of your wings. Help us, O God, to turn to Jesus. It's in his name that we pray, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.